Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochem Daf Mem Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, toward the end, we were discussing Shitas Reish Lakish, who appeared in the middle of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. He was marked in a firebox, one of our rather dramatic markings, indicating that we'll be preoccupied with his words for quite a while, and in fact that is the case here. We will be discussing his point until Mem Beis Amud Beis. Reish Lakish had appeared in our sugya to explain Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir appeared in Menachos dealing with the Pigel B'Koimetz V'lo B'Lavona, or Pigel B'Lavona V'lo B'Koimetz. Rabbi Meir said that even though there are two matirim for the mincha, the koimetz of the baked part, and the Lavona, the incense, if you are mefagel in one of them, it will ruin the entire mincha. Reish Lakish came and told us that one should not explain Rabbi Meir as holding mefaglin b'chatzi matir, but rather Rabbi Meir's shita is based on the idea that kol ha'oseh al das ha'rishonah hu oseh. The nafkamina, of course, is if he starts off without a machshava, if he does one of these two items, the koimetz or the lavona, he starts off without an incorrect thought, and only later has the incorrect thought, that would be a case of mefaglin b'chatzi matir, and according to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Meir would tell you that it is not pigel. With regard to Reish Lakish, the Gemara now, two lines from the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis, the point of the Gemara with which we will be commencing today's shiur, will be raising questions on Reish Lakish's approach. A word or two about the markings before we go further into the Gemara. We notice triangles that appear with colored in tips. These triangles will be flipping around back and forth to give us a sense of the flow of the Gemara, the question-answer routine. In the outside margin of Mem Aleph Amud Beis toward the bottom, you'll notice these colored-in triangles with the tips colored in, and there's an indication of one with the tip on the upper part facing upwards. And in parentheses, you'll notice we've indicated until Mem Beis Amud Beis. The triangles in this position represent Kushos al Reish Lakish. Questions on Reish Lakish. The Ro'im, we will be seeing the Taimo Shel Rabbi Meir Eino Mishum Da'aldas Rishon Oisa, that Rabbi Meir, who holds that the Korban becomes Pigel, is not a function of Aldas Rishon Oisa, that it's that which he thinks initially, that it is the Kovea, that's what establishes things. In other words, we will see cases of a Machsheves Pigel in the middle of the Korban processing, and nevertheless the Korban becomes established as Pigel. Of course, we're dealing with a situation where it appears that you have a couple of Matirim at any given stage. We'll see then triangles whose point is pointing downwards. Those represent Tshuvos, answers. We'll also be using some numbering along this sugya. We must be careful to distinguish between the use of Roman numerals and the use of standard numbers that will appear on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. For the time being, we'll explain the role of the Roman numerals. As you can see, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text here, two lines from the bottom, you see a triangle with a little Roman numeral number 1 in it, with an indication that the Roman numeral number 2 appears on the Mem Beis Amud Beis. So if you have Mem Beis Amud Beis available, you'll notice more than halfway down the page over there that it appears. What is the purpose of these Roman numerals? So we look in our key on the outside margin. We have a 1 and 2. Mispur zeh, this numbering, mar'eh, tchilas malchei kushus arish lokish, the beginning of a series of questions. In other words, there'll be two series or two points in the Gemara where a new question is raised, and it will each one will be dealt with on its own until, in other words, we'll be preoccupied with the source that's raised as a question here. Roman numeral number 1, there'll be a back and forth discussion surrounding what we present here, and then on Mem Beis Amud Beis, a new beginning of question will appear. So that's what we've indicated here, that each, that this number, Roman numeral 1 and 2, represent the beginning of a question approach. So we've written in here that Kushos HaReish Lokish to Omar, that said Ein Lefarish Rabbi Meir Mishum Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir, will be asking on Reish Lokish, who said don't explain Rabbi Meir as Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir. Bimekoros will be asking from sources the Mehem Mashma the Sofer Rabbi Meir Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir. In the sources that the Gemara will be presenting, we will see that Rabbi Meir seems to hold Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir, so that we have a source here that begins with the words Bamed Vamamurim, and on Mem Beis Amud Beis, the Gemara will introduce with a Meisve, a source that also begins Bamed Vamamurim. There it goes on to say Bamed Vam Bekmitza, etc. Two different sources, but each one represents a source in which we see Rabbi Meir seems to hold that Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir. So, without any further ado, let us continue now in the Gemara text, realizing that the first question is illustrated by a long question marking, the little kuf you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that continues down the upper third of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. All of this is part of the question. Meisve, the Gemara asks on Reish Lokish, Vamed Vamumurim, when is it that we say that one matnas dam, one blood sprinkling or blood application is capable of creating people? In other words, if you have a korban that from the Torah standpoint there appear to be multiple matnas dam for the one korban, multiple blood applications in order for the korban to be acceptable, there are situations that with one of the blood applications it already becomes people. So that's what is featured here. Bamed v'mamurim, when is it that with one blood application it becomes people? Bedomim ha-nitnin al mizbeach ha-chitzon. That is true with regard to sacrifices whose dam is applied to the outside mizbeach, the mizbeach that sits in the azor of the Beis HaMikdash. And we say, even though the Torah has an accounting of multiple matnos dam for those korbanos, with one of them, one can achieve people, because one blood application is actually sufficient for allowing the korban to be acceptable and subsequently eaten. Avol, the Gemara continues at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Avol, Domim HaNitnin Al HaMizbeach HaPnimi, with regard to blood of korbanos that's applied to the internal altar, the altar that sits inside the Heichal, the enclosed part of the Beis HaMikdash, Kegoin. And now we have a list of different korbanos. The first deals with the Yom Kippur korbanos. We're now going to see a list of examples of chatolis hapnimus, of internal sacrifices. Arboim v'sholo shel Yom HaKippurim, the 43 blood applications that take place during Yom Kippur. In other words, we're dealing with the special korbanos that are offered on Yom Kippur. There's a par and a so'ir that are applied on the curtain of the Kodesh, of the curtain separating the Kodesh from the Kodesh of Kadoshim, the what's known as the Poroches, and there are matnas dam between the poles of the Oron HaKodesh in the Kodesh of Kadoshim, as well as matnas dam on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. all of those different blood applications of the Yom Kippur sacrifices, the par and so'ir specifically of the Yom Kippur service, account for 43 blood applications. Continuing, ve'achadosor shel par kohen Mashiach. Par kohen Mashiach is a special sin offering, achatos, in the event that the kohen gadol issues an erroneous legal ruling and acts thereupon. There are 11 blood applications for that particular korban, 7 on the paroches and 4 on the golden altar. Ve'achadosor shel par helam dover shel tzibor. And 11 with regard to the par helam dover shel tzibor, the breakdown is similar to that which we just mentioned with regard to the kohen Mashiach. In these cases, we just listed Yom Kippur offerings and the Par Kohen Mashiach, Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor. Pigel, Bein Borishoino, Bein Bishnio, Bein Bishlishis. If the blood applications are done with an incorrect thought of processing it Chutz Lizmano. So when does he have these? Well, Bein Borishona, whether it's a function of blood applications in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bishnia, or applications on the curtain, the Paroches, or applications, the third stage of applications is on the Golden Altar, Rabbi Meir Omer Pigul V'chayav Molof Kores, with a Machsheves Pigul during one of these periods of blood applications, it does create pigul. The Chachamim omrim, ein bo kores ashifagim b'chol amatir. The Chachamim will tell you, pigul is not created unless he has the incorrect mind thought during all of the blood applications. The matir is that which enables the korban to be acceptable, and the matir of these korbanos is the blood application. That's the end of the source. We should mention that in our Shas marking, in our Gemara marking system, Tanaic sources are framed off. At this point now, the Gemara cites the key part of the source that shows the question on Reish Lakish. Katani miha, it however says in this source, Pigel, Bein Borishona, Bein Bishnia, Bein Bishlishis. When it says, for example, he had a Machshevas Pigel, Bein Bishnia. That means, whether it be during the second stage. That is Mashma that he did not have a Machshevas Pigel during the first stage. So he did not think incorrect thoughts during the first stage, but he did during the second stage. Upolig means, and Rabbi Meir disagrees with Achomim and holds that it does create pigul. Now, we don't have a case of Das Rishona. At the Rishona, at the beginning, he didn't have a Machshavas pigul in mind, and yet it does become pigul. So how do you explain that? Unless you say that Mifaglin Bechatzi Matir, that pigul can be achieved even with an incorrect thought during part of the matir being the blood applications. And this is against Reish Lakish. We now have a response. Before we read the response or the defense for Reish Lakish, let's take note of the fact that we have a new numbering system. These are regular numbers as opposed to the Roman numerals which we discussed before. These appear to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And they're explained in our Mivneh structural note in the outside margin. You can see we have triangles with the colored in tips facing down, 1 through 3. Hamispur hu kidei la'akoiv achar hatshuvos shemazbirim ha'dikotani pigul bein borishona. We are going to have answers, as the Gemara unfolds, answers to explain this source that said pigul bein borishona bein mishnia, and answers which we mean points of defense for Reish Lakish's position. Once again, Reish Lakish holds that when you're dealing with Rabbi Meir, don't explain him as Mefaglin Bechatzi Matir, but rather Kol Ha'Eisa Al Das Rishonu Eisa. And once again, we're explaining Rabbi Meir, who appeared in a source dealing with Menachos that was cited on Mem Aleph Amid Beis, right above the firebox section where you saw Rabbi Meir held in the case of Pigul B'Koimitz V'Bulvona or B'Lavona V'Bulvona, that Pigul is established. And once again, Reish Lakish says it's not a function of Mefaglin B'Chatzi Matir, but rather Kol Ha'Isal Das Rishona Oisa. The person acts according to his initial mind thought, a mindset. So over here, we had a problem. We have a source that says even if he's Mefagel Bishnia, it creates Pigul according to Rabbi Meir, even though he didn't start off with that Pigul mind thought. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ovin Hocho B'may Askinon. What is this source talking about? That Rabbi Meir says that Pigul Bishnia creates Pigul. Kegoin Shepigel b'shchita d'chad matirhu. Now, it's important to note that this Gemara is extremely terse. There's a whole piece of background necessary to understand this little line, this line of Gemara. What happened in this scenario is that after he did the blood applications, let us say he finished applying the blood in the inner sanctum, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he had a receptacle that had blood, that he was expected to continue the blood applications with that same blood on the sprinklings on the curtain and then on the Mizbeach HaZov. But what happened is after he did the blood applications in the inner sanctum, the blood spilled out. What do you do now? At this point, you're expected to, if let us say it's the dam of the par, so he is expected to bring a new cow and slaughter it and continue the blood applications from the point that he left off. In other words, if he finished the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would now do matonos with the new blood on the curtain in the Kodesh. And what happened here? He had a machsheves pigel during the shechita of the replacement animal. If he had a machshava during the shechita of the replacement animal, that's not a chatzi matir. The shechita is one avoda, is one isolated service, if you will, or action, and it's a complete action. Shechita is one, is in and of itself a complete action. It's not a function of a chatzi matir. It's not like a machshava during partial blood applications. So as such, the machshava's pigul takes hold. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the case, if that's what the explanation of this source is, that he shechted a new animal and during the shechita he had this machshava's pigul, my time of the Rabbanan, why do the Rabbanan hold that there is no, the pigul doesn't set in over here? Omar Rava, man chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer hi. The Rava says that the chachamim, even though they're presented as the sages, it really represents the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. It's Rabbi Eliezer speaking. This non, Rabbi Eliezer, who holds, and we'll see shortly now a source that will make it clear why Rabbi Eliezer will say that if he's mefagel b'shnia, that it's not enough. So we have a source, this non, HaKoimetz v'halavoyna v'haketoyras u'minchas koyhanim u'minchas koyin Mashiach u'minchas nesochim shehikriv me'achas mehen kezayis bachutz chayov. There's a series of different types of minachos that are featured over here. It's not important to explain each one, but suffice it to say that according to the Chachomim, if he offers a kezayis, which is a fraction of the komitz is the handful that one takes from a mincha and is expected to offer that handful of baked good of the mincha, which is essentially a grain offering, so he's expected to offer the entire koimetz on the mizbeach. In this case, what did he do? This person that's featured in this source took a kezayis of the koimetz and offered it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Tanna Kamma, that partial koimetz offering outside is a problem of haloas chutz, which is a major penalty, an iser of chutz, of outside the Beis HaMikdash, which carries with it a penalty of kores. Rabbi Eliezer, poter ad shiakriv es kulan. Rabbi Eliezer says that the partial offering of the koimetz is not enough. You'd have to offer the entire koimetz outside in order to be chayav. So what are we supposed to see from this presentation of Rabbi Eliezer? So Rashi explains, Rashi applies this to the case of the shechita of the replacement cow in the case we just cited with regard to Yom Kippur. If we look at Rashi, you'll notice that we have a double asterisk marking, double stars in Rashi toward the latter part of the narrow lines of the Rashi. So we'll read the Rashi from that point. Hochi nami, so too over here. Here meaning in the case of the shechting of the replacement cow in the Yom Kippur service, afagav d'shchita avoda shleima, even though shchita is a complete action, kefon she'ein ho'avoda nigmira b'par zeh levado, since the avoda, the service of blood applications, is not completed with this cow alone. She'eino bo el lahashlim. This is a replacement cow. In other words, the blood application ceremony or service was started with a different cow, with a previous cow whose blood was applied in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this cow is only a replacement, or one that helps complete the service. As a result of that, avoda achas hi shenasis b'shtayim v'sholosh shchitos. The blood application procedure is viewed as that is the avoda achas. That's the complete service, which is accomplished with multiple cows in this case, because of the spilling out of the dam in the at the beginning. Therefore, ein hashchita chashuv lefagel. The shchita in this case is not significant enough to create pigul. Just like in the case of the offering of the grain offering, the mincha offering, just offering a partial amount of the koimetz outside is not sufficient, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to create pigul. One would have to offer the entire koimetz. So we're creating a parallel between the entire koimetz to the entire blood application procedure. And just like we said, just like Rabbi Eliezer says that a partial handful, partial koimetz offering outside does not create pigul, so too a partial shchita, if you will, a shchita of a partial number of cows is not sufficient to create pigul. The Gemara now asks, notice how the triangles are flipping back and forth, so here we reinstate the question, so to speak. The question being, how can the answer we just gave was, we set up the Chachomim as according to Shitas Rebbe Eliezer. So we're now going to ask on that setup, the Homa Rava, Moide Rebbe Eliezer, Bedomim. Rava says that Rebbe Eliezer will concede with regard to the issue of blood applications, that which we termed as partial is not really partial, it's a complete entity. This non, Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Shimon Omrim, Mimokom Shepasak, Misham Hu Maschil. Let's go over the case we were dealing with before. He had done the blood applications in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then the blood spilled out. Rebbe Lezer says that if the blood spilled out, he doesn't go over it again. He doesn't start all over again. He picks up from where he left off. What does that show us? The fact that he's picking, that the fact that he's not going over that which he did already, we have a right to view this as a new entity, and as such a complete entity. So Rabbi Eliezer, though in the case of Kometz he might say that partial is not viewed as complete, but in the case of the blood applications, it is a complete entity. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Toward the end of the narrow lines, you'll see a single star encircled. V'ho Amar Rava, the Kamon beperek Hashochet, later in this Maseches, in the perek entitled Hashochet, the Kotoni, there it says, it teaches, Hazorek Mikzas Domim Bachutz, if one does a partial Zrikas Adam, blood sprinklings outside the Beis HaMikdash Chayev. Once again, notice the expression partial, Mikzas. This will be contrasted with the way we dealt with the case of the Miktsas Kometz before. In the Miktsas Kometz, Rabbi Eliezer said that part the Kezias done outside does not generate a Kezias, meaning say olive size amount of the Kometz done outside the Beis HaMikdash, does not generate a penalty of Chutz, of outside the Beis HaMikdash. In the case of the Dam, partial blood sprinkling does generate the penalty of outside the offense, the avera of chutz. The Omar Rava, the Rashi continues, Omar Rava Allah b'Gemara, Rava concerning this point says in the Gemara over there later in the Masechta, Moida Rabbi Lezer b'Domim shinosan b'matona achas mechatos apnimeos chutz lazara, that if one does a singular blood application of a chatos apnimeos, of the internal chatos outside the azara chayav, even though all of the blood applications of the internal chatos are binding, in other words, it's unlike the external korban chatos where one blood application is sufficient from the bottom line of the halacha. And when it comes to the internal chatos, you need each one of the matnas dam in order to fulfill the requirements. And as a result of that, one might have thought the ikol lemeimar de'ein kana lechatzi avoda dumyu dekaymetzel levona. One might have thought that, well, a partial blood application when you're dealing with an internal sin offering is really partial, and it's no different than the case of a kometz. When you have a mincha, you need to offer the kometz, the handful, and the incense, the lavona. And if you do one of them, that's called partial. And we saw Rabbi Lezer over there say that if one does only one of the two by the mincha offering, it's not considered pigul. Nevertheless, chayov. Here, in the case of the partial blood applications of the internal sin offerings, hoyelu kenegdo lifnei lifnei miskabelasi, here in the case of the blood offerings, if, let's say, you're focusing on the Yom Kippur cow offering, if you do part of them, part of the blood applications in the inner sanctum, it's miskabelish. What does that mean? It's received, it's accepted, it's considered a fulfillment. She'im nosa matona achas bifnim v'nishbach adam, if he did his internal, the inner sanctum blood offerings, and then the blood spilled out, maybe dam achir masu makom sheposak, he brings other blood, namely he shechts a new cow and starts from the point that he left off. So if he did a matona achas in the kodesh hakodashim, he doesn't redo it. So the fact that he doesn't redo it shows that which was done is a complete entity. So if that be the case, so you, when it comes to the Yom Kippur blood applications, it's hard for us to understand, if you're going to set up the Chachomim as being Rebbe Eliezer, why would they say that there is no pigul? We just saw that Rebbe Eliezer is moder. Rebbe Eliezer concedes in the case of Matnas Dam that which we thought is partial is really not a partial thing. It's a complete entity, because if you have to pick up from where you left off, that which was done is done. If I'm picking up now, I'm ki'ilu, it's as if I'm starting a new thing, and it's not just a completion action, but it's a new entity, and therefore it's a complete entity, and therefore Rabbi Lezer would agree that a machshev is pigul during such an action, the pigul should take hold. So why did the Chachamim say there's no pigul? Ela omar Rava. Now, we're going to present a new explanation of that which Rabbi Meir said above. Remember we had the expression, Bein Borishona, Bein Bishnia, Bein Bishlishis, and the result was Pigul V'chayav Kores. Rav explains, Kegoin Shepiga Borishona, he did start off with a Machsheves Pigul. This, right away, with this explanation, we're in good shape with regard to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, remember, he said, Kol Ha'isa Al-Das Rishona. So here he started off with a Machsheves Pigul. And eventually, this will be the reason that the pigul sets in. So, but what's the chiddush over here? What happened there in Yom Kippur? He had a machsheves pigul during the kodesh hakodashim blood applications. V'shasak b'shnia, and did not have, and at the second, at the paroches sprinklings, he was silent, meaning he did not have the pigul machsheva. V'chazur pigul b'shlishis. And then when it came to the blood applications for the golden altar, he then reinstated his pigul mindset. Mahu detema, one might have thought, without this Mishnah, without the Mishnah concerning Yom Kippur, one might have thought, e saka daito hal das rishona hu, that if das rishona really was significant, mehader piguli b'shlishis lamali, why does he have to reinstate the pigul machshava? So from the fact that he reinstates the pigul machshava during the third stage, it seems that the original pigul machshava that he had was not enough, and it would seem that das rishona, that the first mindset, does not establish things. Komash malon, we're being informed over here by that since he was shoysek b'shnia, the shtika b'shnia, the silence during the second stage, did not affect, didn't interrupt the pigul from taking hold, because, in fact, he does do al das rishona. Let us glance at the Rashi toward the toward the end of the medium-sized lines, there's a Rashi Dibra Masl Hochigasin, Amadu Teim Amrino Nisako Daito Kolo Isal Das Rishen Oisa Nahadu Pigul Shlishis Lomali Komash Malon Klomar. Rashi explains V'hai Denokat Chozer Pigul Shlishis, the fact that the source used that example, namely, even though he started off with a Pigul Machshava, and even though we do say Kol Oisal Das Rishonu Oise, there's a Chiddush over here. In the case of Chozer Pigel B'Shlishis, Rabusa Shminun, Rabusa is a Chiddush. The Afagav the Chozer Pigel B'Shlishis, even though he rethought his Pigel mind thought at the third stage, Amrinon, we say the Shtika Shnia Nami Aldas Mafshava Kamaisiyava, that the second blood application was with the, which was done in silence, which was done without a mafshava, was based on the original, the opening Pigel mind thought. The Gemara goes on and asks, Maskiflo Rav Ashi Midi Shosak Kotani. In order for Rava's most recent answer to be effective, it should have said in the source, we're making reference to the source at the upper part of the page, the fourth line from the top, when it spoke about Bain Borishana Bain Bishnia, it should have said something to the effect that he was Shosak Bishnia, which is what Rava just explained, that he was silent during the second stage, but it doesn't say that. Ela Omar Ravashi. Notice how the triangles flipped over. Another defense for the Reish Lakish explanation of Rebbe Meir. Needless to say that our entire sugya is revolving around Rebbe Meir, who appeared in that source of the upper part of the page. We've even dashed underlined his name in order to draw our attention to what he said. Ravashi says, Hocha b'mayaskinon, kagoin shepigel borishona ubashnia ubashlishis. In fact, he repeated his pigel thoughts during the first application and the second, namely in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then he repeated it when he came to the Poroches application, and a third time he repeated it during the Mizbeach application, the golden altar blood applications. Mahu detema, without this source, one might have thought, I salkodaitoch kol oise al das rishonu oise. If it were so that when one does a pigol action, he does it with the original mindset, mahade pegulu b'chol chad v'chad olamali. Why does he have to restate his mindset during each separate stage? The fact that he has to restate it in order for Pigel to set in, it would seem to indicate that Koloisa, when people do this, when people do Pigel actions, they don't do it with the original mindset. Otherwise, why does he have to keep saying it again and again? Komash Malon, we're being informed here that nevertheless, original mindsets do have a binding effect. We'll take a look at the Rashi at the bottom of the page, four lines from the end. Elom Ravashi, Kegoin Shepigel, Vehoitzi Pigel Besfasa, Borishona Bashiya Bashlishis. He did express his mindset of Pigel during the first, second, and third blood applications, namely Kodesh HaKadoshim, curtain, and a golden altar. Uboravias Lo Pigel, Kedetoni Behedya. There's a fourth blood application that we did not make mention of up till this point. And that fourth blood application is after he applies the blood on the corners of the golden altar, there's a final blood application that's done on the top of the golden altar in the Kodesh, in the Heichal. That's called the Hazoz Al Tiharo. Rashi goes on to say that in the case we just described, he had machshavas during the first, second, and third, but on the fourth blood app, the fourth stage, which is on the top of the Zbech, he did not express his pigol mindset. Kidiktoni behedya, as it says there, bein bo rishona, v'chulei, etc., says bein rishona, bein bishnia, bein bishlishis, v'lo katoni revias, it doesn't say that he had the pigol mind thought during the fourth blood application. Ubazoi shel tiaro shosik, with regard to the blood sprinkling on the top of the golden altar, he remained silent. Ulaoilom taimu de Rebbe mishum das rishonahu, and even though he didn't express the pigul mindset for that fourth stage, nevertheless it does become pigul, and this is based on the idea of das rishona, because prior to that he had a pigul mindset for Abu Sashmina, and a chiddush is being conveyed over here. The afapi shelo shasak elabazu, even though he remained silent only for this last application, Amrinon, we say, Al Das Rishona Asoho. His original Pigal mindset is what remains and keeps in place and is binding. Demau de Tema, one might have thought, E Salkadaita Chadas Rishona Oise Loma Loi Shosak Bishniu Bishlishis Yar Sal Das Rishona. If Das Rishona, if original mindset really has an effect, so why didn't he remain silent during the second and third applications and rely on the original minds in the original improper mindset? Komash Malon, Dolo Amrin and Hochi, the source tells us that we don't say that. In other words, that we don't reckon with the fact that he kept repeating the mindset that should indicate Shelo Aldas Rishona. Rather, we say, even though he repeated his Pigal mindset for the second and third, still, Aldas Rishonu Ose, and the practical bearing of that is, when he remains silent during the fourth blood application, it nevertheless becomes Pigal based on the fact that prior to the fourth blood application, he did have the Pigal mindset, and that's an illustration of Kol Oisa Aldas Rishonu Ose. Just like Rish Lakish taught. So according to Rav Ashi's explanation, he was mefagel throughout all of them, Rishono, Shnia, and Shlishis. And this is, throughout all of them, we mean all of those that are featured in the source on the fourth line from the top. The Gemara now asks, V'ha bain katani, when you look at that source, the fourth line from the top of Omen Aleph, it said he was mefagil bein bo rishona bein b'shnia, which indicates whether it be this or that, not all of them, not first, second, and third, but rather first or second or third. Kashya, this is a technical difficulty for Rav Ashi's answer. As you can see with our markings, we have a bracket that appears. The brackets are dealt with as far as why they're here by the note that we have on the inside margin. And we've indicated, Achrei Sograim Elu, after these brackets, HaGemara Chozeres LaHakshos Al Reish Lakish. The Gemara will pick up with its questions on Reish Lakish. The Liel Mem Aleph Omid Beis. Reish Lakish, who appeared on Mem Aleph Omid Beis. The question will be, after the brackets, Mimokor Nosaf. From another Tanaic source, Mashma, the Lefi Rabbi Meir, Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir, from Rabbi Meir's opinion as presented on the source of the lower part of this page, it seems that one is Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir, Udolo Kereish Lakish Diz B'tam Shabbi Meir Mishum Dal Das Rishana Oise, and not like Reish Lakish explained that the Pigol sets in as a result of Das Rishona, that only if he has the Pigal Machshava during the first stage, then the rest of the stages would be considered with the Pigal mindset. But if he doesn't start off with a Pigal mindset, that we're referring again to the case of the Pigal Belavoina Velobekoimitz or Bekoimitz Velobelavoina. If he doesn't start off with the Pigal mindset, according to Reish Lakish, then Rabbi Meir would say it does not become Pigal. We have now a bracketed section. Being that we introduced the flow of the Gemara after the brackets, we'll now be in good shape, and we won't be confused when we reach that Meisvei later on. In the meantime, the Gemara raises a question in the brackets. Omar Mar, we're going to be asking a question on the Manda Omar that would be Masbir Rebbe Meir as holding Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. In other words, until this point in the Gemara, we've seen an approach. In other words, there's an approach that attacks Reish Lakish. If you're attacking Reish Lakish, you're basically saying that Rabbi Meir does hold Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. And, for example, if you go back to the Pigil B'lovoina V'lo B'komets or B'lokomets B'lovoina, if you have a Machshevas Pigil during one of the two Matirim of the Korban Mincha, it does become Pigil. So on that opinion, we're now going to raise a question. Omar Mar, Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigol V'chayovim Olav Kores. In order to appreciate this, just let us note where this quote is coming from. So we have a little arrow indicating Mem Aleph Amud Beis. So what we have to do is we have to skip back to Mem Aleph Amud Beis and find an arrow also to the right hand side of the Gemara text, and you'll find an arrow almost halfway down with a little indication Mem Beis Amud Beis. This was going on that very same source that we cited, where it was Mefagel B'Komets V'Lavona or B'Lavona V'Lavakomets by the Korban Mincha. Rabbi Meir said, Pigul V'Chayovim Lov Kores. Let us glance at the Rashi at the top of the page. Omar Mar, Aman D'Mahader L'Ukumi Taimud Rabbi Meir Mishum Mefagel M'Chatzi Matir Koporech. We are Koporach is we're asking question on the Madomar that tried to set up Rabbi Meir as holding Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. Nehinami de Ba'almo the B'kremes Ulevona equal the name of Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir. Maybe it may be that in general there is such a concept of Mefaglin B'chatzi Matir as we would say by the Machshevas Pigul during the Kremes or the Levona. Ela B'chatzi Zrika. Hechi Omar Rabbi Meir Pigol. However, with regard to the Matnas Dam, how could Rabbi Meir say with a partial blood application that there would be Pigol? In other words, the question essentially would be, how can you parallel the case of partial blood applications to the case of the Kremetz or Lavona? Now, what's the question based on? The Gemara itself will unfold presenting the question. The question that we're about to encounter is a long question. In other words, we need a number of lines of Gemara before we can develop the question. You can see a little kuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating that the lines opposite this piece are make up the question. So the Gemara asks, Michti, Kores lo mechayev, the Kores punishment is not incurred, ad sheyikuvu kol matirov, until all of the matirim are those actions which would result in the korban becoming acceptable, pigul does not set in until you are makriv, until you offer all of the matirim, the omar mar. And we have a source that conveys this idea. Kahartzoas kosher, kahartzoas posel. Like, just like the acceptability of a kosher korban, of an accepted korban, so too is the fulfillment of that which is posel. When we talk about that which is posel, we're talking about establishing a korban as pigul. How is a korban established as pigul? Well, it's established as pigul in the same way, so to speak, in the same general way as a kosher korban is established, and that's explained right now. Mahar tzas kosher achikuvu kol matirov, just like a korban which is eventually acceptable, it doesn't become acceptable until all of the matirim are offered, all of those elements that make it kosher are offered. Af har tzas posel. So too, in order for something to become an actual pigul korban with the penalty of kores that accompanies it, ad sheyikuvu kol matirov, you would have to offer all of the matirim. The standard matir by a korban, by a slaughtered korban, the standard matir is the blood applications. The Hakiman the Choshev Bay Bifnim, going back to the Yom Kippur example. once he had a machsheves pigol during the blood applications in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, psula, this now becomes an unacceptable korban, so to speak. It's a pigol korban. It's a ruined korban. How then can we say that the continued matnas dam have any value? Keman dolo odi domi. Odi is a word meaning mazeh. The continued matanas are as if they were not done. Ki hodar modi behechal, when he continues doing the blood applications in the hechal, for example, on the poroches, after he already had a machsheves pigol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and we just said that once you have the machsheves pigol, you've ruined the korban. When he continues doing the blood applications in the hechal, mayo bi'amuhu de ka'odi. As far as we're concerned, it's as if he's sprinkling water. In other words, he's not continuing that which would be legally classified as blood. Therefore, you don't have a situation of being makriv kol matirov. So what we're looking for right now is that if you are going to hold that mefaglin b'chatzi matir, you still have to have a situation where all of the matirim, in this case all of the blood applications, are applied as blood. So how do you accomplish that if at the same time you say that once the blood application is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the Machsheves Pigol, the blood is thereby ruined, the korban is thereby ruined? Answer 1: Omar Rabo, Mishkach Haslo, Be'arbo Porim, U'barbo Si'irim. This is reminiscent of that which we discussed before about the blood spilling out, and in this case, that which Rabbi Meir says, the pigol bein bo rishona, bein b'shnia, bein b'shlishis, etc., that creates pigol, it's because he didn't continue with the original pasul dam. He did the blood application in the Kodesh HaKadoshim with a pigol mindset, and then the blood spilled out, and he had to bring a replacement cow, and he did it, and he used the replacement cow for the curtain applications, and he did that, of course, with a machsheves pigol. And at that point, the blood spilled out. We're going to go over this with the details again when we look at the Rashi momentarily. But the idea is, as we just started explaining, that he had the Machsheves Pigol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the blood then spilled out, and then he came to do the Matnas Dam, the blood applications or the sprinklings on the Parochas with a new par, so that the problem that we raised before doesn't exist here, because we're not dealing with the continued use of Posel Dam, we're dealing with the subsequent blood applications were done with new cow blood, and after the curtain application the blood spilled out and he had to bring a new cow for the Mizbeach application. And with regard to the Mizbeach application, we had on the corners of the Mizbeach, and then a fourth application prior to which the blood spilled out, he had to bring a new par for the blood application done at the top of the Mizbeach. Let's now glance at the Rashi, Ba'arbo Porim, Pigel Bein Habadim. We're looking at Rashi to the lower part of the narrow section. Pigel Bein Habadim. He had a Machsheves Pigel during the blood application in the Kodesh HaKadoshim between the poles of the Oron. Bechol Matnoisov. During each one, there are a total of 8 blood applications or blood sprinklings that are done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So during each one of them, he had a Machsheves Pigol. V'nishbach Adam, the blood then spilled out. The blood that he anticipated using in the Heichal for the curtain application spilled out. V'shochat Acher, v'hizah Paroches, v'echod al Hakronos, v'echod l'tiarosh ha'mizbeach. For each section, a new cow. The cave of the Kaimalon Beseri Yom Kulhu Kaporo Bifnei Atzmo. Since we hold in Maseches Yuma, each one is considered a separate atonement. the avdinu kilchasan niskashro avoda pahochi, and if he would do them properly, in other words, without improper mindsets, then he would be said to be fulfilling the required Yom Kippur service. Afilu the rabbanan de pligilay the Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Lozer benishpach adam beemtsa matonas. Even according to the rabbanan that have a disagreement with regard to shitas Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon in the case that the blood spills out. Bahamodu they insorch lachzor v'lahazois b'mokim shigomar kol chazoisov. The rabbanan will agree that if you completed, let's say, any given stage, whether it be the kodesh hakodashim or the paroches, you don't have to go back over that. Pigel, so too over here, he accomplishes pigel. Shere korvu matirov shel kol echad v'nigmaro havoda b'chavero. The kodesh and kodoshim blood applications, being that they were done, they are said to be completed, and the continuation is viewed as a new stage. And why do we say that? Because there is no need to go over that which was already done. Avol, but par echad, if however you were dealing with one cow for all of the sections, moide Rabbi Meir de lo pigel. There, Rabbi Meir would agree that you don't achieve pigel if, let us say, you started off the kodesh and kodoshim blood applications with a pigel mindset. Then it will not become pigel mishum delo gomar zrika meolam, because you never completed the zrika, because the continued stages, the curtain, the mizbeach, were done with blood that was already pasul. Continuing in the Gemara, Rava Omar afilu temo bepar echad v'soyer echad. Rava says, you don't have to come on to the example of four cows and four goats, which is what was offered, which would have accounted for all of the Yom Kippur applications in the case of Yom Kippur with the spillings out. You don't have to come on to that approach whatsoever. He says, "Lepigulo meratze," that even though the blood or the korban is said to be ruined after the first machshava, we do not say with regard to pigel that the continued use of the original blood is as if you're using water. Why is that? Because here we're dealing with pigel. And Rashi, the fourth line under the Gemara, explains the pigula meratze ki heichidim choshav b'shchita kori lo lezrika dam hapostle hazeh korvu matir v'leratzes l'pigulo. If after the shchita, let's say he did shchita with a pigul mindset, and then he's going to use the blood after that slaughtering for the zrikas adam, so he's using what in effect you would say is dam that's pasul, but nevertheless, if he sprinkles the blood after a shchita with a machsheves pigul, that is considered korvu matirov. That's considered as if the matir, in this case the blood, was done properly to achieve pigul. In other words, it's considered still significant enough with regard to pigul. Ki choshiv leinami b'chatzi zrika v'shosak. So too, where he has the pigul mindset for part of the blood sprinklings and then remains quiet, v'shosak b'chetziov. As long as he doesn't have some other mindset, a different mindset that intervenes, it would still be sufficient for achieving pigul. So just to go over this point again, just like everyone will agree that after a shchita done with a machsheves pigul, the subsequent blood applications are said to be sufficient to establish this sacrifice as being pigel. So too, in the case that, let us say, the shechita was done properly, without any improper mindset, but he started off the blood applications with a pigel mindset, the continued blood applications are sufficient to establish the korban as pigel. Continuing in the Gemara. At this point, we have what we refer to as an internal brackets. To distinguish them from the larger outside brackets, we change the shape of these. We call them angular brackets. The reason for these is explained by the note on the inside margin, matras. So, Raim Elu, the goal, the point of these angular brackets, hino, los letachem diun hagemora binyan mispar ha'azois shel chatois apinimios parvisoyer shel kippur. To letachem means to establish the boundaries of this discussion. We'll call this an internal discussion dealing with the numbers of blood applications with regard to the Yom Kippur service. And Yom Kippur service, we mentioned, contains or deals with a par v'soyer. And we mentioned that there would be there were blood applications on the in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, on the paroches, and on the sides of the mizbeach, the edges of the mizbeach, and on the top of the mizbeach. Looking at things simply, before we look at things simply, let's just refer back to the original source on Omid Aleph. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omid Aleph. That would mean go back to Omid Aleph, also on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, to find an arrow with an Omid Beis indicator. And you'll notice that second line from the top of Mem Beis Omid Aleph. And as we mentioned before, the Gemara will be focusing on the issue of the numbers. We might also mention on the outside margin of our Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, Nosei a topic, Mivneh a structural note. And we've also featured diamonds, because diamonds will be used very shortly in the Gemara. Kushios, questions, Mimakoros, from sources, Al Hode Kotoni Liel, Bamit Aleph, the Mispar Azos, Shel HaPar, Vesurshem, Kippurim, Mistakim, the Mem Gimel, 43. Questions on that which was said on Omid Aleph, that the number of offerings, the number of blood offerings for Yom Kippur was totaled 43. So we're now going to ask on that. In other words, why do you say 43? We see from sources a different number. The Gemara asks, "V'hotanya arboim v'sheva." We have a source that says that there were 47. It may be of benefit to us to just try to make an accounting for how we got to 43 before we can appreciate the questions that indicate other numbers. In fact, if we skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll see the first question we just read accounted for 47. The question after that will make an accounting of 48. So, how did we get to the original 43? So, the Par V'Soyer had a Kodesh HaKadoshim sprinklings. 8 for each one. That would be 16. Then you have the Paroches application. 8 for each one is another 16. That in the meantime is 32. Then you have the edges of the Mizbeach. The edges of the Mizbeach would be 4 for each one. Total of 8. So you would add 8 to the 32 number. You would get 40. At that point, the blood of the cow and the goat offering of Yom Kippur, at that point they would be mixed. For the in anticipation of the blood offering sprinkling at the top of the Mizbeach. let us correct ourselves with our calculation by checking out the Rashi at the top of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. We want to be a little more accurate than what we just said. So Rashi there says, Avol b'domim hapnimim k'on arboim v'shol shem ha-kippurim achas l'malo v'shevo l'mato shol bein abadim midam ha-par k'negdo midam ha-soyer harei tezayin. As we did explain already, eight between the Aron poles for the cow and the Sawyer, that gives you 16. Ukenegdan al paroches, and a similar 8 for each one on the paroches, which gives you 32, as we already explained in our explanation before. The arba al karnus mizbech apnimi mishnehem ke'echod, and then 4 on the corners of the mizbech from each one, in other words, from both together. After the curtain application, and this is where we made our mistake a little earlier, we're correcting it now. For the side edges of the mizbeach, the bloods were mixed. So you have 4 edges of the mizbeach with the mixed blood. That's another total of four. So we would add that to the 32 figure. That gives you 36. And then with the mixed blood, there was 7 applications done on the top of the mizbeach to give you 36 plus 7, 43. So that would be the accounting of the original 43 number. But our Gemara is asking, but we have a source that says that there weren't 43, but rather there were 47. That's the Gemara's question here. V'ha tanya arboim v'sheva. Before we go too much further in the Gemara, let us just draw our attention to some further markings. We have bracket length indicators. These appear in this particular sugya to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. We have the broader brackets, the long brackets that started from the top, and that's indicated the length of those brackets. You notice a dashed, dotted, vertical line. So if you follow that line till the end, you'll notice that it's on the end of this vertical dashed dotted line, it's on that line of Gemara that the bracket ends. We have also a vertical dotted line, which is a length indicator for the angular brackets. It just so happens in this case that the angular brackets ends at the same point that the curlicue brackets ends as well. But back to our question, how can you say 43 when we have a Tanaic source that says that there were 47? So the Gemara answers, the 43 number is ha keman de omar me'arvin lekronos, that the bloods are mixed for the edges of the golden altar offering. If we just recount what we said before, after he did the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the curtain blood applications where he got the 32, we said originally that he mixed the bloods of the cow and goat offering and did the 4 edges of the Mizbeach in a mixed form. According to the 47 approach, he did not mix the dam for the edges of the golden altar application, and rather did the par separately and the goat, the cow separately and the goat offering separately. So that would give you an additional 4. So if originally we got to 43, here we're adding 4. So if you add 4 to 43, you get 47. Continuing, let's read that again in the Gemara after we ask, but doesn't it say 47? So the Gemara answers, Ha kemando amar ma'arvin lukranos. The 43 number is according to the opinion that says that there was a mixing of the blood before the edges were applied. Vaha kemando amar ein ma'arvin lukranos. And the 47 number was according to the opinion that said that they were not mixed for the kronos. So if you hold they were not mixed for the kronos, you would get 47. The Gemara asks, "V'ha tanya arboy mishmoina," but there's another opinion. There's an opinion that says that there are actually 48 applications. The Gemara answers, "Ha kemando amar shirai ma'akvin." The opinion that says 48, that is because after you did all of the blood applications in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Heichal, you still had one more application, and that's the spilling of the remaining blood on the base of the outside mizbeach. Now, if you hold that action is binding, So that will account for one more blood action. The shita that holds, the opinion that holds, you don't get up to 48, but you're 47. Ha, kaman d'amar ein shirai makvin. That will be according to the opinion that the spilling of the shiraim at the base of the outside mizbech is not a binding action. Now, as we mentioned before, and here we have the advantage of having our markings in front of us, we'll appreciate this meisve, what its role is. Now, as we said before, this is going to be a second source in which we will have a kasha on Reish Lakish, who had explained Rebbe Meir as kolad ois hadas rishon osa, and not to say mefaglin b'machatzi matir. Here, however, we're going to see a source that seems to say we are mefagel b'chatzi matir, and here we're going to go back to the original topic, the topic of a mincha offering, and we'll be focusing on the issue of the kemetz and the lavona, the two elements that join up to matir a mincha when the mincha is done properly. Meisve. So we have a source. Bamed v'mamurim b'kemitza b'matan kli. The kemitza is the action of taking the handful of the mincha. The handful, the kemitz, is that which is offered on the mizbeach. We have a Rashi that we might want to refer to before we go further in the Gemara. The Rashi is in the wide lines under the Gemara. Bamed v'mamurim b'taysef mochas kotani la. In the brises of Maseches Menachos, this source appears. Bamed v'mamurim shamincha nifgela bavora achas. When is it that the mincha through one action can be established as pigal? So it's b'kemitza, b'matan kli, b'hiluch, she'en sham elo avodas matir echad. With regard to those stages of the mincha processing, each stage is a singular avoda. She'en, and in other words, we talk about the handful or the placing in a service vessel of that handful or the walking, the carrying of it to the mizbeach. She'en kemitza umatan kli v'hiluch b'lavona. With regard to lavona, there is no taking of a handful or placing in the kli or the walking of it, the carrying of it to the mizbeach. The source, then we turn back to the Gemara text. So we're saying b'med v'mamurim that there's that it becomes pigol b'avoda achas. That's with the actions of the kemitza, the matan kli, the taking of the handful, or the matan kli placing in the service vessel. After he took the handful, he places that kometz into a kli shores, ubehiluch, the carrying of it to the mizbeach, avol, ba loy lahaktora. Now we come to the stage of offering. When you deal with offering, offering means putting it in the fire on the mizbeach. Here, you don't have just one element that's put in the fire. You've got two elements. Nosan es ha-kemetz b'machshovas alvona b'shtika. Let us say he offered the kemetz, he put the kemetz in the fire with a machshova, machshovas pigol, and the lavona he did without an improper machshova. Oy, shenosan es ha-kemetz b'shtika, that's ha-lavona b'machshova. Or, he put the kemetz in the fire without an incorrect machshova, and the lavona with an incorrect machshova. Rebbe Meir, Omer Pigel, v'chayvim lov kores, that according to Rebbe Meir, Pigel will be established. And even though we have some dashed underlining, it's important for us to note that this is for the Gemara later on. But for this point, right now, let's emphasize the Bay's case. The Bay's, the second case is that he started off b'shtika, he did the kemetz b'shtika, and the lavona b'machshava. That means he didn't. His das rishona here was not a pigol das. When did the pigol mindset kick in? Only at the lavona point, which was the second part. And what does Rebbe Meir say? It does become pigol. V'chayavim koreis. V'chachomim ein bo koreis at shifagim b'chol amatir. The chachomim, true to their shita, koreis is not established until you have the pigol mindset during the entire matir. Kotoni miha. It, however, says, and this is a style of the Gemara you find all over when a long brisa is brought in, and you want to make the you want to focus in on the point of the brisa. That's the main point. In this case, the main question comes from the Bay's case, where it said, Es HaKoymetz B'Shtika. This is a reference to that second case that we emphasized before, where he offered on the fire the koimetz with a proper mindset. There's halavoyne b'machshava, and the pigul mindset kicked in only when he offered the lavona upolig. And Rabbi Meir disagrees, meaning Rabbi Meir holds that this does become pigul. What do we see from here? We see that mefaglin b'chatzi matir, and that's against Reish Lakish. Ema, the Gemara answers. Kvar nosan es halavona b'machshava. When you read case Bays that says es hakoymetz b'shtika, yes, he did the koymetz b'shtika because it's and it does become pigul. That's because he already had offered the koymetz of the he had already offered lavona with a machsheves pigul. So his das rishona was a pigul machshava. Therefore, the second stage, which was the koimetz offering, that even though it was done b'shtika, it was done with the original pigul mindset. The Gemara refutes this defense and says, Chada, there are two points that are made, and we've indicated them with little numbers here, one and two on the next line. One, a problem, one objection to this answer is, Dehainu Reisha. If you explain the Bay's case as having originally done it with a machshava, and the second thing was done b'shtika, and that's called adas rishon oise, but that's what the Reisha case featured. What was the Reisha case? And if you use here, we want to use our dashed underline. And we also have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text in order to make things easy to find. The Aleph case was also a case of first machshava and then shtika. If you're going to say like your answer was, that the Bay's case is also a case of where he actually started off with a machshava, so the Bay's case is then a repeat of the Aleph case, which was first machshava and then shtika. The oid, and a second objection to this answer that you said in the inverted triangle, just the line above, a second objection to that is ha tanya v'achar kach. It said there he did the koimetz b'shtika and afterwards did the lavona b'machshava, indicating that the problematic machshava was only after the koimetz was done, and not like you tried to answer that was kvar nosan es lavona b'machshava. No, the lavona was not done prior with machshava. It says achar kach, where it says achar kach the lavona was done b'machshava. The machshava was also only later on after the kmitza was done b'shtika, and still we saw that it became pigul. That would be an illustration of mefaglin b'chatzi matir, and hence a problem for Reish Lakish. Kashya. The Gemara ends off with, in fact, this is a problem for Reish Lakish. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.